Welcome to Inner Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 55 to the Inner Mom's Basement Podcast. And of course, you can listen to this episode at all those podcasts below the screen there, Spotify, Google, iTunes, as well as Pandora. I am Rage Quit Pat, and today we are joined by Dan the Pizza Man, and I thought that was No Show Barbosa. No Show, you have a new nickname, or what's going on?
Oh, wow. That's
cool,
guys. Really, thank you.
I guess No Show has a new nickname for today. But welcome, guys. Episode 55. It's been a little while. Dan and I were relocating, so the podcast was a little bit on hold, but what a crazy time to relocate. A lot of news to talk about today. We have to talk about Mixer, PS5, EA Play, and a bunch of other things. So, guys, we have a lot of things going on today. But how are you guys? What is going on?
Man, oh, man. Yeah, man, everything is... I can't complain. Our news is pretty good, man. Finally settled in to the new place. Relaxing. It's been nice and hot with a sign of thunderstorms.
No. Well, that's South Carolina life. Barbosa, how are you?
I'm good, man. Just kind of taking in all the news, right? And a lot of stuff is coming through this month and the next one. It's always fun to be like, know what's coming up next. And, you know, enjoying that quarantine's kind of almost over. We're like halfway in, halfway out. So
until wave two.
Enjoying that. Yeah.
We're on the slow open right now, but it's coming along. It's coming along. But let's kick it off here really quickly. We're going to run through these, of course. Each and every month, we preview next month's releases really quick and see what's coming out. July actually has a pretty decent lineup. So here we go. July, Deadly Premonition 2, July 10th. That is a Nintendo Switch exclusive. Also, we have Ghost of Tsushima, the highly anticipated new IP from Sucker Punch. That is PS4 exclusive. That is July 17th. Another Switch exclusive as well, Paper Mario.
Yes!
July 17th, and then the Destroy All Humans remaster. That is multi-platform. That will release July 28th. So, not bad. Not bad so far for the month of July.
Yeah, Paper Mario's looking good.
Yeah, definitely. Ghost and Paper Mario are definitely the games I'm looking for this month coming up. Let's just all hope we get more stuff. This is like the last... strike from the summer, I think. I don't know what's going to happen in August and then next.
Yeah, well, we always know definitely August is Madden season, but as far as like any, you're right, any like single player games, we have no idea yet. But definitely July has some good games out there. But let's jump onto our first topic of today. Before we talk about that, it's going to be about Mixer. If you guys have not heard, if you're just joining us, Mixer has partnered with Facebook Gaming. So Mixer is no more as of July 22nd, Dan, am I correct?
Yeah, 22nd.
As far as July 22nd, Mixer will partner with Facebook Gaming. But before we begin on that topic, we are going to do a 10-bell salute for Mixer. So, Dan, take it away.
All right. And there's the 10 bills. Rip in peace.
So, yep. As Mixer, so kind of just go into a quick little form here. Mixer was over the... I mean, Twitter was crazy in the video game streaming world. This past weekend that just passed by, Mixer was... And their partners, some of their male partners were getting called out on a lot of sexual harassment, sexual assault. And there was also a story, I forgot the Twitter handle put out a story about his time at Mixer, that he was involved in a lot of racism. So a lot of streamers were calling out Mixer. It was a crazy weekend. It was wild. A lot of Mixer partners were also not going to stream until Mixer did something. Mixer did send out a tweet that was pretty vague. I mean, it was just kind of like, we'll better ourselves in the future, but did not really give a response to, you know, their partners if they, you know, got rid of those Mixer partners that were called out for sexual harassment or anything like that. It was just not a good response. It was pretty vague. And then the next day, Mixer just pretty much kind of pulled the rug from underneath all their partners and said, well, we are partnered with Facebook Gaming as of July 22nd. You guys have 1 month to decide. If you go to Facebook Gaming, you'll still keep your partnership, or obviously the other options are Twitch, YouTube Gaming. So, you know, real quick, I mean, I just want to say in Inner Mom's Basement, you know, we've streamed on Twitch. Obviously, we're back on Twitch, but we switched back before all this happened. We were streamers on Mixer as well. And, you know, we've met a lot of amazing content creators on that platform. So it did suck to see for a lot of those Mixer partners that really made it on that platform, merely made it what it was. And, you know, we wish them the best on their move to it, whether it be Facebook Gaming, whether it be Twitch, YouTube Gaming, you know, Inner Mom's Basement. We met a lot of great people, and they've been guests on our podcast. Of course, you know, Asika, Who's Your Boy, Hey Loch Ness, you know, a long list of great content creators that have been guests on our podcast. But, you know, we wish them the best. You know, it sucks to see, to kind of get the rug pulled out from underneath you, you know?
Yeah, man. Man, it sucks because, I mean, in my eyes, Mixer definitely had some great potential there, and they had some nice features. They had a really nice community that we kind of enjoyed, and, you know, we really got to know. And it just really sucks that it's come down to this.
Did you guys see the videos of streamers reacting to it? That was so sad, man.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a couple of the streamers on Mixer of their goodbyes and everything like that. It's sad. I mean, you know, and if you heard our other podcast episodes, some of them, you know, were loved. It was more about the community. A lot of our guests really praised the community here on Mixer. And I think Dan and I could also attest to that. There was definitely Mixer had a really good community. A lot of great people. You know, we met a couple. Obviously, we met, we play with Jedi. He's from the Mixer community. He plays GTA with us. So, you know, a lot of great people that we met on Mixer. So, as Dan said, you know, definitely had potential. It's just, unfortunately, Microsoft just didn't really give a shit about it, to be honest. You know, honestly, if we're going to be, yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about it before, right? Like, we seem like Microsoft doing this a lot. Like, if a project doesn't work for them in a certain time, and they just pull the plug, man, like, out of nowhere. Like, we've seen it, like, with the other services. Come on, this is a little bit for the older crowd. What's the name of the iPod thing? The competitor?
Zoo, or it began with a Z. It was garbage.
Do you remember, Dan?
No. Zoom? Like the music player?
It was a music player. It was trash. It was just trash.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think it was called Zoom. I think it was called Zoom.
And that shows you to see, like, if, like, it doesn't work for a certain period of time. And I know they were trying to penetrate the streaming market, and it gave a lot of opportunities to a lot of people. But I guess, you know, with the allegations that were happening, and then probably on top of that, they didn't see, I guess, returns. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. So, but I think a lot of factors took into account, and as they do it every single time, like we talked about, Pat, the Kinect, boom,
you're done. I think this, obviously, this deal was in effect for a little while, because you don't just have this type of deal, like with Facebook Gaming, overnight. I think this deal was in the works for a while, and when all the allegations came to light, Microsoft was just like, screw it, you know. Let's get out of here. You know, I think another big issue that they had was just the marketing, the advertising. Their biggest kind of advertising was, hey, we signed Ninja. Hey, we signed Shroud. Hey, we got Ewok. Hey, we have Goth. There really was this, like, if you asked, like, a casual person, like, oh, hey, do you know what Mixer is? You're either going to get one of two answers. You're going to get, oh, that's that thing on my Xbox. Or you're going to get, I have no idea what it is. I think that was also a big factor in its downfall as well, was the advertising and the marketing. it just wasn't that good. And, you know, as opposed to Twitch, you have Amazon Prime. And then I know towards the tail end, Microsoft was like, hey, you could get you could use your Microsoft points for a free sub. And it was just so convoluted. I mean, you know, there was just a couple things leading up to it. Our experience on it, you know, I have my opinion on it. I've talked to a couple of Mixer partners and, you know, that are in the variety of streaming, and they've told me, and I'm not going to mention any names, but they've told me their experience on the platform. They, you know, they've really pushed as long as they can go, especially with variety streaming. You know, the problem is with Mixer is that most people think it's just an Xbox also streaming service. You know, not too many people know, yes, you could also stream PS4, you could stream the Switch, you could stream PC games. Not too many people knew that. And I've talked to some streamers, and they said that they were, like, castrated for it. Like, oh, like, they would play Animal Crossing, and people would be like, is Animal Crossing for Xbox? Like, you know, and, like, it, just a lot of things I think they definitely could have done better. Because at one point, when Ninja did sign, the conversation did come up, is Mixer a big player now in the, you know, the streaming services now? You know, like, even Dan could attest to this. When Ninja signed, people were like, oh, I'm going to give Mixer a try. Let me go over to Mixer and let me see how it is, you know? So it definitely brought over eyeballs and stuff like that, but I just think they could have done things a lot better. You know, not to say that our entire time there was bad. Again, we had some great times there. Dan and I met a lot of great people. We met a lot of amazing people in the community. I think that's what our highlight was. You know, we got hosted by a couple of Mixer partners that were amazing. You know, they don't have to do that. And it was amazing, you know. But I think they could have done things a lot better.
Yeah, I feel like you're right about it. Like, the Ninja move and all those streamers was, like, the last, like, almost like last resort PR, like, aggressive push to get an order, like, people noticed the platform, and I don't know if it really changed anything.
And good for them, too. Ninja and Shroud, out of 8 months, pulled in, Ninja pulls $30 million, and then you have Shroud making $10 million for only 8 months of work, so kudos to them. But, Dan, you have anything to add? Like, you know, we've also had, you know, time on Mixer. You know, what would you have to add to everything?
After your extremely long 5-minute speech, I mean, I already pretty much said what I said already. I mean, it sucks to happen. I would have liked to see it grow more. I mean, I was a Mixer fan. I like Mixer. You know, I was more attracted to their features more than anything. Their features are really nice. Like, that co-stream feature still is one of my favorite features out there. And, you know, they had potential with, you know, the Hype Zone. But, you know, that went pretty good for when PUBG first came out for a little while. Yeah, and then it right. Tanked pretty bad.
Right. I mean, the PUBG Hype Zone was insane. If you got it, I mean, we did once, and it was like 350 viewers. And, yeah. I mean, that was insane. Even the Siege one, Dan brings a good point. Hype Zone, when Mixer first came out, Siege was huge on the Hype Zone. Fortnite. PUBG, a lot of those, so that's a great point.
Yeah, and then they also brought these cool features, like, you know, their mixed play, and where, you know, we can have your viewers be a lot more interactive with your games itself, and, you know, people were actually building pretty fucking awesome content on there, and, you know, with that mixed play.
Streaming 4K too? That was like, they were the first ones to bring that up, right?
Yeah, you were able to stream 4K, of course, if you were able to handle a 4K. I mean, they done a lot, and it's sad they didn't, you know, promote it the way they should have promoted it, and, you know, gave itself, I mean, they brought in some big numbers, so, I mean, not big numbers, but big streamers. It just wasn't enough, man.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, as I said before, I just think that they needed to market that much better than they did, and unfortunately, this goes on a long list of Microsoft failures. This joins up with the Kinect, it goes up with the Windows Phone, it goes up to Windows 8, like a lot of those Microsoft disasters, and it's unfortunate, but we just got it's the big three. It's a triple threat match, as I say. It's Google versus Facebook versus Amazon, so...
I mean, you got YouTube in there. I mean, YouTube's not out.
Yeah, Google. Google.
Oh, okay, you said Google. Okay, I didn't hear that
one.
I mean, we could talk a little bit about statistics. I mean, if you want, because I got some statistics.
The only kind of one I have is, like, you know, a lot of people might have been worried about the saturation of Mixer and Twitch. You know, I know a lot of I asked the question, with Mixer ending, is this going to bring any saturation over to Twitch? Which in reality it's not. So Mixer, there was 3 viewers to 1 streamer ratio on the platform, and it is assumed that each streamer was also being counted as a viewer in their own stream, which means a 2-to-1 ratio. On Twitch, it's a 30 viewer to 1 streamer ratio. So that's a statistic I have there. Dan, if you want to add on any statistics you have as well.
Yeah, actually, I was kind of curious, and I actually looked up some, trying to get some numbers going, you know. So I found this cool little chart here about their growth from, you know, 2018 to 2019, and not just you know, Mixer alone, but it's just, this is involving Twitch, Facebook Gaming, and YouTube. And I gotta say, between, this is only counting, you know, gaming categories mostly.
Yeah.
But you know, Twitch went down 6% from 18 to 19 of their watch time. And Mixer actually went up about 5%. And I gotta, I'm more impressed with the two blues that are very similar. From 2018, you know, Mixer was at 2% with their watch time, and you know, between 2019, they only went up 6.6%. So they went to 2.6% watch time. That's fucking terrible, dude.
Yeah.
Where you have Facebook Gaming, who's at 3.1%, going all the way up to 8.5%, dude. That's 200% growth right there. I mean, Facebook Gaming is growing real big, and it's gonna get bigger. While YouTube really hasn't moved anywhere, and I gotta say, the only reason why Mixer went up that big is because of that Ninja push.
Yeah, I think the only negative thing I've heard about Facebook Gaming is that is right now it doesn't have anything like just chatting. It strictly just has gaming categories, and if you're scrolling through like a timeline, even if you go past the video, it counts as a view. So that's the only kind of negative thing I know Goth, so far Goth has moved over to Facebook, but I come to wonder what is going to be the move for Ninja and Shroud. I mean, most people think that they're probably going to end up going back to Twitch. We know YouTube Gaming has Courage, but I feel YouTube Gaming, if you don't have that YouTuber sub base already, YouTube Gaming is a little bit tougher to get into. I was just gonna say, you know, but you know, again, there's you know, I'm just going on what our experience was on Mixer, what I've heard from other Mixer partners. You know, anytime there's some type of competition, and I'm not saying competition within the streamers, because I don't believe there should be competition within the streamers. We're all trying to accomplish the same goal, essentially, right? Like, I don't think there's competition, with the streamers, but I think, you know, platform, whatever, competition, if you want to call it. I thought Mixer being there was good for business, and I wanted that, of course, but what can you do? RIP Mixer, but, you know, gotta move on. So, you know, again, I hope for the best for all of the friends that we have met on Mixer. Of course, we always still support them, whatever platform they're on. So,
you know, I think everybody for the most part wants to know where Ninja's going. I mean, for the most part, you know, Ninja, and then on Twitch, over 10 million followers, where, you know, Mixer only hit, what, like 3 million? And I want to say YouTube is Twitch's only competition right now, yes. But I don't really see Twitch moving too much farther, because, you know, what content is Twitch really bringing to the table? I mean, I haven't seen them done too many big, big feature upgrades where, you know, Facebook is really trying, man. They're dishing out money. They're actually making their platform better and better and better. And I've seen it, because, you know, I run our Facebook page, and I see them trying to work hard, you know, bringing more players to the game, you know, bringing those features for their content creators. So I think YouTube, give them a few years. Give Facebook a few years, and I think they're gonna.
I feel like YouTube Gaming is more of a side feature of YouTube itself. You get me? It's not the main component. You know, Facebook is a social media page, but it has different things, and now Facebook Gaming is a streaming, you know, platform. YouTube, I feel like it's different. YouTube is more of like, yeah, you have live streams, but for certain different events and other things that are happening. It's not known for gaming, per se, for streaming games. Like, hey, I'm going to watch a session with Ninja on YouTube. You never hear anything like that. Like, you mentioned Courage. Yeah, cool. That's true. But it's very rare to have these guys on that platform consistently.
Money talks, too.
Yeah.
That's
what it is. Yeah, but it's called YouTube Gaming over there. But, you know, and, like, Facebook released their Facebook Gaming page. They released their Facebook Gaming app. So they're, I don't know, man. I think within the next 2 or 3 years, Facebook is going to be a big competitor on the field.
Well, again, we'll see what happens. But before we move on, let's just have a moment of silence for the Mixer Blueberries. We're definitely going to miss them with that blue robot coming in saying hi.
Also known as Squeakers.
1v1, can I play? Is this for Xbox? Do you play Fortnite? So we're just going to have a...
Can we game share?
Can we? Well, we got that the other day. I don't think that's going away. I can't believe I got that for SpongeBob. Can we game share?
Can we game share?
I can't believe that. But anyway, let's just have
courageous people out there.
Let's just have a quick moment of silence for the Mixer Blueberries. We'll miss you, Blue Robot.
I won't.
All right, so now let's move on here. Again, a lot of big things happened, guys. The PS5 reveal. Huge. Of course, next month we'll be talking about Xbox very shortly later on in the podcast. But PS5 reveal, guys, what do we think? Before we even go to the console look, we got a lot of games. Of course, we have Spider-Man, Miles Morales. We got to look at the new Ratchet and Clank. We saw a couple indie titles that they're releasing. Of course, Horizon Zero Dawn, Resident Evil 8 Village. I mean, we got to look at a lot of good things. So let's do the game rundown. What'd you guys think of the games?
Well, the Spider-Man one, I haven't played it yet, but the Miles Morales looks pretty fucking dope, man.
No, yeah, definitely Miles Morales. I mean, it's a launch title. That's the only one we know really for sure. Ratchet and Clank is. They're talking about it, but it's not really something that we're like know for sure that's going to come out right off on launch. Gran Turismo 7, I think, might be the other one, but all the titles look good.
Can't wait for Ratchet and Clank.
You know, they showed demonstrated indies. I know some people got bothered with it. They were looking for other games to be there instead of indie games. But I think it's called Little Devil. That one looked pretty good.
Yeah. And the one by what's his name? The guy who fucking made A Way Out.
That was on EA.
Oh, that was EA. Wrong conference.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
But Horizon, really. So I watched the stream with Pat. We were all, you know, discussing what was happening. The thing is, I got to tell you, when you watch the 4K versions of these certain games, I'm not saying all of them, but like Horizon, Spider-Man, Resident Evil 8, and like, what was it, Ratchet. Man, let me tell you, these games look really good. Like, especially Horizon. Horizon was already eye candy for PS4 Pro when you first got it. The HDR and everything that way. But, like, Forbidden West looks insane graphically. Like, it's mind-blowing how good it looks.
Yeah, absolutely. The games look really good. I just, besides Horizon Zero Dawn, I guess my only negative that I had with the presentation was that besides Horizon Zero Dawn, it didn't really show anything else that looked next generation to me. Spider-Man, Miles Morales still somewhat looked the same. Resident Evil 8, I love the new engine, but it still somewhat looked the same. And then we got a lot of cartoony indie games.
Well, we got the new GTA. Oh, GTA, GTA, you mean the new version.
Like the
the feature, the enhanced,
like the new Elder Scrolls GTA is going to be re-released.
Well, I don't know, because I think I think they're going to redo the graphics, make it look bigger, better, and they're going to do an expansion. Like, I don't know, more story, maybe a new heist. I don't know, but
about this, right? What happened to Red Dead? All of us, if we're going to assume that game from Rockstar is going to get, you know, transferred to next gen, it's going to be Red Dead, not GTA 5. And, like, they completely glaze over and are like,
I also think that GTA Online is such a powerhouse. Like, that could be its own separate game. I hear mixed reviews on Red Dead's Online, but as opposed to GTA's Online, like, that could be a whole separate game by itself. Like, I think Rockstar with GTA really nailed having a single player and a multiplayer component. You don't really see too many games that have both locked down to where maybe one could even be sold separately, you know? Like, GTA Online could be a separate $40 game. Like, there's so much to do in that online, and obviously it's long gone that, you know, obviously horrible launch. But again, you know, the games... Besides Spider-Man Miles Morales, I guess I want a little bit more at launch. Like, I want that game. And, like, you know, I'm glad also Insomniac kind of chimed in, because a lot of the big conversation with Miles Morales was, is this a sequel? Is this a DLC? Is this a spinoff? What is it? They compared it to Uncharted Lost Legacy, which was a spinoff. But it was a really good spinoff. It worked. So I'm really glad Insomniac also kind of touched base with the community and was like, all right, guys, this is like Uncharted Lost Legacy, which is a spinoff. And they were like, Peter's story is not over. It's still continuing. So I'm really glad they kind of chimed in on that, because a lot of the social media conversations was sequel or DLC. Like, what is it? You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that they chimed in. And again, I can't wait for Resident Evil. I mean, you know, we know... Resident Evil Village, and the spoilers were locked on. Supernatural, Ethan is back, Chris Redfield is there in some capacity, werewolves, like, what is happening?
They have to explain. I mean, they did explain on 7 why the virus is, and no spoilers here, we're not going to do that to you guys that are watching and listening to us, but man, there's some explaining, and there's like talk that it's open world, man. Do you imagine that?
I mean, you know, most games are kind of going like Metro did it. Metro did kind of that linear open world environment. I mean, most games now are kind of doing that, where they have like kind of that linear, it's not full open world, but it has like linear, and you could find like items and stuff like that. And I mean, we'll see what happens, man. Capcom really has brought Resident Evil back from the dead, literally, after the garbage of 6 and that Umbrella crap they pumped out too, but they really brought it back from the dead, man, and I can't wait. But now let's talk about the look of the console. What do we think of the look of the console, both disc and discless version, and then maybe we'll throw in some price predictions while we're at it too.
You know, it took a little while to grasp it and be like, all right, I'm okay with it. I am. It's very big. That's the one thing, like, very, like, it's huge. Like, people were measuring because of the USB ports and the disk drive. Dude, it's taller than the Xbox.
It might be taller than my monitor that I have.
I know. That's, you know, it makes you wonder, like, what could be... I get it. You were talking about the cooling and all of that in the system. But, man, what is inside that box that makes it so tall? And, you know, we talked about it. Maybe the VR breaker box is inside that thing. The design, look, I don't hate it, but I'm not like, wow, this looks phenomenal. It looks nice.
They're doing this the same route as Xbox is doing and how the heating system works. Because when you have it in a tower like that, you're gonna have a better outflow and inflow of air to keep it cooler. I think that's the more of the idea around that design. But I mean, I don't know what to think about it. I mean, it looks kind of cool. I mean, I'm going to get it no matter what it looks like. I don't even give a shit if it was like a fucking piece of shit iPhone, but I'll still get it. I mean.
All right. All right, Android fanboy. But anyway,
throw that in there, right? It has to be a comment.
This guy, he's just mad because when he does a Snapchat video, it stutters and his video quality is rough.
No, that's false, man.
Yeah. That is
false.
Anyway, I mean, it's about the size of the router I have now. I mean, my thing is, it's 2020. I understand, as Dan said, the cooling systems. Barbosa mentioned maybe the VR is installed in there, but Jesus, man, and then we could kind of sit here and think about it. Maybe in 3 years they'll come out with a fucking slim version that makes everybody look like an idiot. Like, oh great, now I got a fucking now. And they know that people are gonna go out and buy the slimmer version because remember the original Xbox One that came out? I felt like I was buying a gigantic VCR. I picked up the box. I'm like, what the? Why is this thing so heavy? I'm thinking it's the Kinect, and I open it. I'm like, holy shit, this thing is a fucking brick. The PS4 design was great. I like the PS4 design. Same thing with the PS2, the original PS2 model. I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? That's going back then to 2002. You know, we expected consoles to be that big, but Jesus, this is 2020. Oh, yeah. Both of these consoles are monsters. Like, where the fuck am I going to put these damn things on my desk? Like, one is a small fridge, and the other is a router, as the community said. I mean, I feel like I should open up the Xbox
PC
and put...
case.
Yeah, I could put... Or, like, a freaking Alexa Echo. Like, the Xbox, another Echo. I feel like I should open up my Xbox... that's probably one of their features. Open it up, and you could put in your cans of soda or your G Fuel in the Xbox. They just don't tell you. That's, like, a hidden feature. And the hidden feature of the PlayStation is... You'll see like a green bar randomly pop up, and that's just your Wi-Fi just going in and out, letting you know your Wi-Fi is working. But as Dan said, I'll probably, the look aside, we're just cracking jokes here. Look aside, next generation, really excited. But let's talk about price predictions here. Disc and discless. I'll start. I'm going to say for the disc version, that's the sweet spot, and that's going to be the more powerful of the console. And I'm going to say that is going to be $499. I am going to say the discless version is going to be not as powerful, and that one is going to be...
They said the systems are both equally the same.
Equally, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the difference is only the disc.
I don't know why everybody assumes that the disc is less powerful. So many people told me that.
Since that was said, then I will say that one will be $50 cheaper then. So I'm going to say, $499 for the disc version. I'm going to say, $349.
What?
What?
No.
Wait, whoa.
Well, if you said it's going to be $500.
I'm drawing a blank. $449. $449, my apologies. $449, I'm going to say for the discless version.
No, it's
going
to be $550 and $500.
All right, so I'm going to be the only person that's going to say this, and you're probably going to call me.
You're going to say $600?
No, $500, $499 for the disc one, mm-hmm. and $400 for the digital one, because they want to push that.
I could agree with that one. I mean, that's what I was gonna say. I think $399 is the right spot. I think
so. Think a discless one is gonna go for $100 cheaper?
They're gonna get the cost. I'm not saying because it's because of the disk drive only, because it only costs like about $20 to take a disk drive in and out of it. And I get it. But I think they will eat the cost because they want to move digital in, because digital is pure profit versus having a disc selling to a retailer.
Well, the thing is, disc drives do cost money, though. I mean, the type they're using is definitely expensive. So, I mean, I guess I can't argue that price. I can see it between anywhere to $50 or $100 off on it.
I think anything above $500 is too much. I think we've seen of PS3 when it was above $500.
But this is new, man. That custom hard drive probably was not cheap to make.
You're also trying to hit that casual market. I think $500 also is a good price for somebody just to Call of Duty players. If people who are just just play Call of Duty or anything like that, I think 500 is the right sweet spot. Unless, if it's going to be the price range that you're saying, it has to be a bundle tied to it. We see it all the time where if it's more than 500, it's because it's a addition that comes with this game and so-and-so. The big thing, again, the big thing is Sony's got to have to keep thinking what happened when they came out with PS3 and they charged $600. It was a colossal failure for many years. And PS3 had some really good gems, but the problem was that console price. Until they bumped it down to the Slim, that's when they finally started seeing sales. And I believe that was maybe, it came out 2006, 2009, I think it came out. That's 3 years into the cycle. Then you finally start seeing sales. So I think 500 is the sweet spot.
I think that's
the good price.
I mean, even if they were to charge 500 for the console, I mean, these consoles probably take $800-$900 to produce, probably more. I mean, they're biting the bullet on profit on consoles anyways, because they make more money, obviously, through hardware and game.
$150 to build the
PS5. No way, dude. No way.
It was on the Bloomberg report. I'm telling you.
What?
You guys didn't see that? That's why people were speculating the price was going to be higher.
So you think that hard drive didn't cost that much? That's insane.
It's solder into the motherboard, which is different, so it's not removable, which that kind of offsets cost a little bit, to be honest. You know,
all right.
Because it doesn't have a removable PCI slot or anything like that.
I actually didn't see this article. I mean, that's actually impressive.
Report, right, all before the release, because they were, I don't know if you remember that, Pat. Remember, right, the article was like, oh, they were having a difficult time pricing it and figuring out.
Yeah, I did. That I saw. They were having a difficult, yeah.
It was all part of one article in Bloomberg. Yeah. So it's possible. The only thing I can see is this is going really out there, right? Either two things happen. One, the disk drive system has a higher set of memory and it's going to cost like somehow $600, or they do that. And then they have $500 for the digital version, or reverse, actually. The digital version is more expensive now because it has a high, you know, bigger hard drive because of the lack of disk drive. And it's more expensive. I know it sounds insane, but to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to pull some crazy move like that.
Yeah, only time will tell. You know, hopefully soon after Xbox Game Studios reveals their games, then probably around that time, hopefully we get some pricing and some pre-orders. All right, so we got our prices down. We got our predictions there. All in all, I thought it was a decent conference. Not bad. You know, let's give our grades. Why not? Because we have another conference to talk about soon. But let's give our grades. I'll give Sony's grade, the PS5 reveal. I'll give it a B. I'll give it a B.
Yeah, B plus max. One reason only, because remember we discussed this. We didn't expect actually them to even show the system.
No, I thought we were mostly just seeing games. I didn't expect
the
console either.
I went in there full force, knowing that I better be seeing the console.
And I mean, that's definitely expected. It was like a 50-50 thing. I definitely would say we were either going to get it, or we weren't going to get it.
I'll probably give it a B plus because they showed Ratchet and Clank, huge Ratchet and Clank fan, and then they also showed some gameplay of Godfall, which looks actually pretty fun, and I'm pretty excited just to play Miles Morales, so I'll probably give it a B+. I thought it was some decent gameplays.
Alright, so we pretty much got a B and two B+. Alright, so I'll let you guys take this one away, because I don't really give a shit about this. Pokemon Unite, so go ahead, you guys have a good time for a little bit.
Go ahead, Dan. Give a scoop of what it is, and then we'll me and you throw out some of the ideas.
I mean, I'll give you a scoop of what I did not actually watch.
Okay. So it's pretty straightforward. The video goes and it shows like all the gameplay and every single type of gameplay that they had for Pokemon, right? Pokemon Stadium, Red and Blue, the Game Boy Advance, and it goes all the way to like Pokemon Let's Go. And then they finally just pop up a MOBA. It's legit exactly like a MOBA. They didn't talk too much about gameplay. The crazy part is they were very smart about this, or maybe a little bit. They could have added a PC or something like that. That would have been the big scope thing to do. It's only for the Switch and mobile. The other thing is, like, that I threw me off is that you see Charmeleon evolving to Charizard out of nowhere in the lanes, and I don't know how that's gonna work for a MOBA. You get me? If they're gonna add evolutions, I mean, Dan, you played MOBAs before, like, I mean, they're never gonna lack of champions. That's for sure. They have a crap ton of them to use from.
Fucking lot. But,
yeah, but it. Are you gonna play it if you have the chance? I mean,
I have a Switch and I have a mobile device, so the chances are I'm probably gonna be playing it.
Yeah, I mean, it looked okay. Looked very much the health bars. I mean, kind of like League-ish. They showed a little bit of the map. You know, it looks like three lanes: top, bottom, and mid. Clearly, there's gonna be a jungle factor for it, but I think we need to see more. Definitely more. You know, Nintendo's just on the quiet spectrum right now.
Did they say anything about dates?
No, nothing. Not even betas or anything like that to test it out. I mean, given Nintendo never does that, but
really quickly, we've kind of seen this with the Switch, like, ever since launch. Like, they've been really kind of quiet, and then randomly those come out of nowhere, Nintendo Direct, and then boom, no release. Like, you know, they had that Paper Mario reveal. And that kind of came out of nowhere. So they've kind of been, like, really strategic, I like to think, with their releases. They'll randomly just be like, all right, guys, Nintendo Direct in 2 weeks, and it'll be a bunch of game reveals. So I kind of like it. Kind of keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, but they've been quiet, though. If you really think about it, yeah, they, you know, they put Paper Mario, which me and Dan are excited about. But, you know, Pokemon Unite, I guess, and a couple, like, you know, the expansion pass for Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah, we don't know what holiday, right? We just don't know really what's coming out holiday 2020.
Yeah, it's completely quiet. And usually you have a general, by now, you have one direct. Just one. And give us a general idea, maybe up to, like, the beginning of January or something.
Which would have been E3, most likely, probably.
Exactly. But I don't know what's happening. I know, you know, COVID really hit everybody hard, and a lot of developers were working from home. I'm not sure how these studios for Nintendo reacted when this happened. You get me? So, but they have no announcements whatsoever for, like, overall. You know, they had Pokemon Direct. They had a little Smash one, Animal Crossing one, you know, specific title directs. But they never had a direct that overall entails what's coming for a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens. That is the Pokemon MOBA. Now we're going to go on to... All right. Anyone have a garbage nearby or anything? Because we are going on to what was a dumpster fire. Dan called it before it even happened. and that is the EA Play. So one of the tiers that we have in our doc, what was good? What was good? I guess the only thing I saw that was pretty cool was Star Wars Squadrons. I mean, right? I mean, Star Wars Squadrons looked pretty good. I know they're trying to jump back into, you know, what everyone used to love, which was AKA Rogue Squadron. You know, fingers crossed that they get that right, because we know it took them how long to get Battlefront 2 right.
Yeah.
So, and the, well, the good thing is also it's a $40 game. You have a single player, you have a multiplayer, so that's not bad there. And the features look pretty cool, you know, but other than that, what was lacking, right?
I mean, I liked It Takes Two. I mean, that looked pretty dope. I mean, that's something that we'll probably play.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. They teased Dragon Age for a second.
So what was lacking? Let's have some fun here. Let's shit on this presentation, because
no sports.
It was shit. It was shit. I mean, there was no Mass Effect, and there was a rumor that Mass Effect remaster was going to be announced. Nope. Dragon Age as well. Maybe we could rise BioWare up from the dead. No. Maybe they were going to show, hey, we finally fixed Anthem. No. What did we get? We got a bunch of indie games that anyone could really give a shit about.
Apex Season 5.
We got Apex Season 5. I'm sure all the BR people were, like, unloading it themselves. Let's see, what else?
You got the, we're coming out with our usual sports games where we're not going to show you shit, but it's going to look more realistic. Yeah. Don't worry.
Here's some more CG trailers of our sports games that are going to have no new features. We're just going to give, work on the ultimate team so we could continuously take thousands of dollars away from consumers. But in the franchise, I lied. In Madden, they have user-controlled celebrations. Holy shit. Wow.
Oh, people were pretty excited for Skate. I think that was the only thing people were really excited for most.
No, it's coming out. Like, that's the thing, right? They didn't announce it before, so it's not like...
I think they probably announced it because they probably got sick and tired of all their other presentations and everybody in the comment section saying Skate 4, Skate 4, Skate 4, Skate 4. They probably just got tired of that. Who knows when the hell that game's going to come out? Who knows? But it was dog shit.
I mean, we also learned that the EA launcher is failing so bad, so they had to bring all their games to Steam.
Yeah, everything's going to Steam now. that Sims presentation and. Like, oh my.
Yeah, I got Titanfall too. I won their giveaway for Titanfall.
Which present, like, did a good presentation, but he's like, go find the shiny letters. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Bro, it played out EA fucking play. I'm like, what? Are you serious, man?
Dan told me that this presentation was going to be shit. I should have turned it off right then and there, and I should have just. Went on like IGN or like GameSpot, any of those websites, and just watch when I want to watch rather than watch the dumpster fire that is EA Play. There was nothing. Like, dude, I'm tired of seeing CG sports.
Make a blog about it, man. Right? Like, make a blog about it. Don't stream all of that. Like you have, I get it, they're doing because everybody else is doing because clearly that's what we're getting here, right? Make a blog about it. Article, hey, this is some games we're working on. Put that trailer that they show, the next-gen features and all that stuff that's coming. And be done with it. Bro, it's over. Like, you don't need to make a video about stuff that is not going to really escalate or make people hyped.
Thank goodness there was no E3. Imagine EA Play at E3 again, like, Mike.
Yeah.
God, I don't even want to talk about that fucking disaster.
It's what a waste. And then when it was over, like when Skate 4 was announced, I thought they were going to lead to something else. And it was like, it's over. I'm like, that what? That's it? That's over now after just the two developers are like, oh, thank you guys. Skate 4 is happening. All right, great for the skate community. But I mean, that's really how we're going to end it. We couldn't end it on like anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. It clearly, they had nothing in their hands, right? That's clearly the message they gave us, is like, hey, we have a couple games that are AA, I guess, as far as we can go, and, we got nothing else to tell you. We got Skate 4.
Well,
so don't hate us.
let's get our grades. Make this easy, an F. Star Wars Squadrons didn't even save that fucking shit conference.
As far as an F. Because a big Star F. Wars and a couple of the next gen showcasing, I'll give it a D. Okay, a D.
Like in the movies, when they stamp the F on like the test papers, that's what I'm doing right now for that conference. I give it an F, and I'm stamping it.
I'll give it a T for absolute fucking trash.
A T, is that what you said? A T. Okay. That's a new grade. A T.
Oh, see, that's it. You should have that in the scale now. It's lower than F, and it's the T for trash.
What? Yeah, but let's move on to our last topic, because before I throw up and talk about that EA conference anymore, in the next month, there's no date yet, but we have the Xbox One event, which is going to announce their first party studios. We know what we're getting. We're going to get Halo gameplay. We know the villains that we are going to get now that recently came out. Actually, before we jump in, what do we think of the Cyberpunk trailer?
Man, looks good.
It does look good. Good.
I can't wait, man. That looks awesome. And then that ending with Keanu Reeves at the end, and he's like, fuck. I'm like, I can't wait.
Yeah. And it's crazy, right? Because, like, you know, the what we're seeing right now, I don't know, possibly it's running on PC or not, but, like, what we're seeing now is not even with the patch. You know, when you get the game in November, you're going to get a game with a smaller patch for PS5 and Xbox Series X. But here's the catch. The real patch, the big one that's going to really change the game more and you take advantage of all the features of these systems, is not coming out until next year. Yeah. So it might even look better than what we're seeing right now.
So the thing that kind of gets hard pressed is, are you guys, would you guys rather wait? Or, you know, are you just going to, like, fuck it, I want to play it now. Like, I don't want to wait.
No.
I
want to play it now. I'm just going to play now just because I know that there's going to be a shit ton of spoilers out there and it's just going to ruin it for me.
That's true. And then it has a smart delivery feature. And for Xbox, it's going to have the smart delivery feature anyway. So we're going to get it for free anyway when we upgrade. So I agree with you guys there. But man, does that game look a lot of fun.
There's a video, Digital Foundry, if you guys ever want to, like, look into specs and everything. And they said, based upon comparing to what, you know, Witcher did as a game, like, there's massive improvements on the engines and all the things that they're doing at the same time. So I'm excited, man. It's probably one of the games I'm looking the most forward to for the end of the year because, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, 2020, I think. 2020, obviously, with COVID and Ubisoft's fuck ups from last year, they pushed a lot of their games back. We were supposed to have a lot of anticipated games, but right now my list is Cyberpunk and Ass Creed Valhalla.
Yeah. Valhalla. Can't wait for Valhalla.
But let's jump into Xbox again. As I stated before, the event is next month. Obviously, as I said before. Before we jumped into Cyberpunk, we know what kind of villains we're going to be getting, seems to be getting in Halo Infinite, and then we're going to get gameplay. Excited for Halo? You guys kind of want to jump in with that, with Halo Infinite?
Yeah, they posted a teaser from the, and I think Atriox, he's like one of the guys from The Banish, like there's a recording. Yeah. For it, they teased it to like I think it was today. Well, not today, yesterday or the day before. So I'm excited for that. I mean, like, I want to see more. You know, there's all these rumors that maybe Halo Infinite is going to be like story mode, open world. So it's going to be the first of its kind for a long time. And yeah, of course, I want to play multiplayer before you guys derail me out of here. But I'm definitely looking forward for a story in Halo, and then that sounds stupid a little bit from, you know, some people might just want to play multiplayer, but I want a story in Halo. You know, that's what 343's been doing it, and I think that the Infinite that we're going to get this time, and compared to Halo 5 and 4, is going to be really that one that we're going to be like, wow, guys, crap, this is nothing like we experienced before.
I really hope so, too. I agree with you there. I really hope so, because I did enjoy the story for Halo 4. Halo 5, I did not. I'm sure a lot of people definitely did not. Dan, what did you think about? Do you want a much better story this time around, or you're just looking forward to the, you know, multiplayer aspect?
No, man. Well, Halo, I usually just play the story. I'm not not too big into the multiplayer in Halo. I'm mostly settled into the story mode. So I would rather see a good story mode than a multiplayer, to be honest.
Yeah, so we are all definitely in agreement. We want to see Halo kind of rebound from... I wouldn't say Halo 5's story was a disaster. I think what ruined Halo 5's story was the marketing, and it was just too much Locke. I mean, like, it's cool we got introduced to a new Spartan, but Locke was kind of bland. Like, we wanted Chief, and Locke was just kind of this generic Spartan, like, oh, yeah. But, like, what really intrigued me about the game was like, wow, am I really gonna have a choice to choose to kill Master Chief?
Am I really gonna take him down? And it didn't seem like that. Yeah,
that was the cool thing. Like, am I? And like, I remember having conversations with friends. Like, I'm obviously gonna pick Master Chief, but man, maybe that second playthrough I'll pick Locke. But it ended up being like just a bunch of Locke missions, and him and Master Chief just fought and. Locke was just like, okay, I agree with you now. It was just really disappointing. But I hope Infinite, which I think 343 kind of said is a soft reboot of the series, kind of rebounds, definitely. Because I know some people actually who didn't like Halo 4's story. Yeah, I liked it. I know some people didn't. So, you know, if you're 343, you know, you better pick this shit up, or else I think Microsoft should call Bungie back and be like, hey, fuck Destiny, come back to Halo.
Fuck Destiny. Damn, I think you just lost that Barbosa.
I know Bungie really did a great job with Destiny 2 after leaving Activision. I know Bungie finally is the Bungie of old with Destiny 2.
Better every single time. I know there's a lot of people complaining about some features, but man, they keep working in this game. And, you know, if you really think about it, the game has been alive for, what, 6-7 years already? They are going to reach that 10-year mark that they promised us, if you really think about it. You remember when they showed an Activision
with Destiny 1, Yeah.
They got cross-save, so, I mean, I already said my cross-save. Just
and they're going to do cross-play next year.
Yeah, give us cross-play. That's what I'm waiting for. That would be fucking dope.
But out of the conference,
I want to see... Well,
what games you guys
what
see?
We will see is probably... We'll probably see a Forza. I mean, that's kind of the given. But I will... every year I say it, I'm still going to say is I want a fucking Fable 4 already.
So today, actually, one of our friends texted Barbosa and I. It was a Twitter that said placeholder, and then below it said at Fable.
Yep.
So...
I don't know, man. We see a lot of those... Those placeholders, you know, every time a conference comes around. So who the fuck knows, man?
I'm in agreeance with you. You know, we have a new team working on Fable, and it actually is the team that does Forza Horizon. Obviously, we know how good the Forza Horizon games were, but this is a different beast. Like, you're going from a open world car racing game to a open world RPG. So I mean, I agree with Dan. I want to see it. Doesn't even have to come out at launch. We know we're getting Halo at launch. I'm fine with that. I do want to see something with Fable, and obviously coming off of Fable 3, how much that was disappointing. Then they were going to make that god awful Fable Legends game. Thank God they didn't make that pile of shit. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with this series. So I'm in agreement with Dan. I do want to see a new Fable game.
Yeah, definitely want to see, you know, I want to see Halo. Definitely, that's the first and foremost. I want to see more Hellblade, but after they announced that Hellblade is running on Unreal Engine 5, fun fact about that, which I don't get it because they show in-engine, like, graphics. Hellblade... Unreal Engine 5 is not going to be given to developers until next year. So, we're not going to see that game for probably a long time. Fable, I hope they surprise us. There's all these new developing teams that are working in a bunch of variety of games, and I hope they show us a little, like, you know, a general idea of what they're working on, and, like, to give us direction of what's coming for Xbox Series X for the next coming years. Like, what are, you know, is it a third person action adventure game that we, you know, Xbox hasn't really done that in a long time? Are we gonna get that? Are we gonna get something that completely blows our minds? You know,
I want to see some new IPs.
We are getting a new IP. Rare is making their show on their new IP Everwild, which I think they announced last year. And apparently, there's Microsoft Studio, the writers from Red Dead, are also going to be bringing a new IP.
I mean, anything Rare announces nowadays, I don't care anymore. Sorry. I know they fixed Sea of Thieves. I know it's a much better game, but I don't. Rare's dead. Rare died with Perfect Dark after Microsoft bought them. There's no I'm sorry. Rare's dead. I just want to see some different IPs. You know, I want to see something that's going to compete with Sony's IPs. Because in my opinion, I think the Sony IPs are ahead of Microsoft IPs. I feel like a lot of the Microsoft IPs this generation, unfortunately, were disappointing compared to Sony's. I think they need to really jump on those IPs and get much better with them. So I definitely want to see some new ones.
I think we will, hopefully. I mean, coming into this, Spencer did say, man, this is going to be a big year for Xbox, and hopefully we're going to see. He said this is going to be the most IPs that we're going to see. So.
And there's like, hopefully, I know Pat agrees with me. Man, don't give us another Inside Xbox like that ever again.
Yeah, that Inside Xbox, I mean.
Wait, you're talking about the indie one? The one that was meant for indies?
No, it wasn't indie games. It was the third party games.
Yeah.
What?
Third parties. They didn't say indie. It was third party.
I mean, I'm happy that game Vampire the Mask. I'm excited to play that because that was a very popular PC RPG. So I'm really excited to play that. I'm happy they showed Assassin's Creed, but again, I'm tired of CG fucking trailers. I mean, cool, we know what we're coming out with, but if you're gonna hold, I want to see gameplay. And that has been even like Microsoft's E3 the previous year. We just saw CG shit. I'm tired of it. They showed especially when they showed Gears 5 like at that E3. They just showed a CG trailer. Like what the fuck?
I think we're gonna see a lot more gameplay this time around, just because they're gonna want to show off this new console big time, and they're gonna want to show these graphics, And I think they're gonna show quite a bit.
Think we get a price reveal first? Do you think Xbox drops the price reveal first before Sony's hand?
I think the price drop will be that day.
Okay. So what are predictions on? And so real quick, do we think Xbox is gonna follow suit and get we're gonna have a discless?
Yes.
Xbox Series X.
But there is a rumor that there is a secret console showing up, and I think it might be a disc. I'm just going to say digital edition.
Barbosa?
Yeah, I mean, so when, like, people assumed that Lockhart was always going to be the weaker one, right? Like, they're going to have a smaller, weaker system. Maybe that's not the case, man. Maybe they're going to follow suit with Sony, and it's just like Dan said, a discless Xbox Series X.
Which is what we all want. Deep down inside, we all want that.
I agree with you, man. You know what? Look, dude, for everyone's 4K Blu-ray plays and collect discs, I respect you. But I hate clutter. So you give me a system that doesn't need a disc or a drive, I'll take it. I don't need it.
We're in a new age, too, with game sharing and stuff like that, too. So, I think people are... And the
You okay?
The big problem is the clutter and everything like that.
I think they're gonna show the digital edition. They're gonna drop the price and the pre-orders that day.
Yep, and it's gonna get crazy because.
I don't think it's not gonna go over 500. I mean, they learned from their mistake with that 600 price point.
It's gonna be 500.
I think it's gonna be 500.
500, 400, discless, same thing.
Yeah, I think 500 as well.
And I'm ready to pre-order the fuck out of it.
Well, one thing I'll tell you guys though, if Lockhart is weaker, $300.
Anything weaker than what they said now, I'm not gonna get it.
Well, I know you're not gonna get it, but like, if they give you Xbox Series S, right?
Oh yeah.
You get me? I think 300 is gonna be the price point. And so the people that really don't care about all that power jump for Series X, they will go for Series S because it's cheaper, but it has an SSD in it, and that's what the rumors were saying. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I've heard those rumors.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I'm excited. Just give us these systems already.
Yeah, I want Xbox, I want Microsoft to finally give us a VR system that works. It doesn't have to be made by them. Just let the Oculus make it compatible. I need a fucking VR for Xbox.
Yeah, they should add compatibility. I don't know how hard it is for them, but like... the architecture, it's not entirely a PC, right? But there should be some financing with the programming and be like, hey, you want to use a Vive in your system? All right, cool. you're good. You want to use an Oculus? It's up to you. If they did give you that versatility of which headset you can choose, man, that's going to be a killer feature.
Yeah, that would be. And I'm hoping they do something with that, because I know a lot of people have been waiting for that for a while.
Pat, any thoughts? No?
No, I don't really have anything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. No, but I'm excited. I'm excited for what's coming on both sides. So, you know, we'll see. I'm excited. I just want them to have a date, and I want to be just kind of seeing. I also think that Xbox will drop the price point first.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I mean, we're already a week away from July, and we still haven't heard anything. I'm assuming it's going to be at the end of July.
It has to be. You know why? Because, dude, think about this, right? If it doesn't happen next month, it's August. And then that's like literally, what, 3 months away from release date? Probably. Like, I suspect these systems are going to come out in November. That's my own, you know, like, theory. I don't think it's going to be December. You know, it's going to be right before
Black Friday. Yeah, I think it's going to be November. Because they did drop that releasing that Thanksgiving thing on their website, and they took it down. So I'm sticking with November on that.
How about you, Pat? What do you think?
I think November as well. The thing is, it's just tricky too, because now Cyberpunk comes out in November. So, like, you know, like,
yeah.
But I mean, November's usually been that sweet spot, usually when new consoles launch. So, you know, it's unfortunate that Cyberpunk isn't a launch for the new consoles. But it'll be okay.
So November 19th, right? That's the release date for Cyberpunk. Yeah. That is the week before Black Friday and Thanksgiving. It's a Thursday. So, what if the system comes out that day? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Fuck that. If it comes out Black Friday, that's ridiculous.
No, I'm talking about the week right before.
The week
Black
before.
Friday. So exactly. The 20th, November 20th.
Yeah.
Is.
I don't know. I don't know, but we'll see. Hopefully soon they'll have a date. But, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much. Everything's covered, so we'll kind of kind of end it here, guys. So yeah, we had a lot of topics today. We talked about a lot. You know, we talked about Mixer, we talked about PS5, we talked about Xbox, a bunch of different topics. So again, guys, you could listen to this episode on all anywhere you can listen to podcasts: Spotify, Google, iTunes, Pandora. But yeah, anything else you guys want to add before we head out?
No, man, I'm just excited for the conference. I'm excited to start playing these games and fucking excited for them to announce a goddamn fucking pre-order.
Hell yeah. I'm going to be feel a lot safer when I have them pre-order and ready to go.
Hell, for real, man.
It's just anxiety, bro.
Alright, guys, I'm Rage Quit Pat. That is Man, No Show Barbosa,
also known as Sunny Fanboy.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a Video Game Podcast, with your hosts Dan Geoffwe and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.